Time to bring in our good friends over at theberkshireedge.com, who are with you, by the way, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. David and Marcy join us, and we take a look at stories affecting the lives of people in and around South County, Berkshire County, and surrounding areas. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Marsh, I didn't know you liked the Grateful Dead.
My music selections range from everything from classical to Jethro Tull to a group that was called Doug Clark and the Hot Nuts. I saw them once again when I went to a college bar. It goes all over the place, and so people over the years have learned to accept my taste of music.
I knew those guys, by the way.
Did you really?
I did light shows for them in San Francisco.
Right, there you go.
We all have our hippie background.
That's right.
it's the time we grew up with.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We may be a little slower moving and have joints that hurt more, but we're still the same people.
Yeah, we are.
Really. The key word there was joints.
Yes, that's right. And still is, might I add. But
still
anyway.
Not nearly as much fun.
I do it to go to bed at night. That's how bad it is. All right. Let's get on.
We want to start off. We have a lead story about Robin Hood Radio.
Yeah. About that.
Okay.
Adding the New York Philharmonic this week to your programming lineup every Sunday from 10 to 12, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, beginning this Sunday, April 25th.
Yeah, we've been trying to work on this for a while. Most of their programming was much too long form for us. But we finally came, and they've adapted and come up with this program, and it's a terrific program, and it just is another one of the fine arts programs that we like to put on here that delve into music. So
yeah.
Part
of your eclectic interest in music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great addition, and with NASCAR Dave leaving and moving and retiring and go to Florida, it opened up a time period where we could do something like that. So, and it's interesting because on our Facebook post and when we announced it, about 2,000 views. So I think there's people out there that would love on a Sunday morning in between 10 and 12 to hear the New York Philharmonic. So
yes.
Wow.
Now, is it also, will it be on your website for listening at any time, or is it only
What we will do with each show is we will put a link up to the New York Philharmonic website, which you can listen to that and many other things as well.
Right.
So it's a real cooperative effort between what we call the Public Radio Exchange, the New York Philharmonic, and the radio station. So it's just really nice for a small station to be able to present that. It's
excellent.
Nice.
That's an excellent addition.
Well, we put that up at the same in the same article where Jacob's Pillow has announced its 2021 summer lineup. So we are, you know, things are happening at last in the Berkshires, and the Pillow is doing, you know, for the first time it looks like a very interesting program, and they're taking advantage of their big campus.
It's so nice to hear that slowly we are reawakening, and it's such good news. It's such good news in our
life. Oh, it is. So the Pillow. And reawakening is doing stuff outside. They're doing stuff all over their campus, and they're also streaming online. You know, so they're going to be doing a number of very interesting things. And we also have, speaking of opening up, we have a letter from New York by a writer named Leonard Quart, who also writes movie reviews for us.
Well, he taught film at NYU.
Yeah.
That's who Leonard Quart is, yeah.
And he's talking about the reopening of New York.
Yes.
He walks around his neighborhood. He lives up near Columbia, and he talks about going down to the Upper West Side to visit friends, and the number of people who are out on the street and the lines to get into restaurants, So, you know, things are happening. It's very exciting.
Yep. What's speaking about exciting and actually comforting at the same time, the story that we're going to lead off in talking about now is the Berkshire County DA's office endorsing the conviction of the police officer Chauvin. And I think the whole country breathed a big sigh of relief about 4:45 yesterday afternoon.
It did, I think you're right.
Everybody but Eric Chauvin.
I think you're right, and I think most police officers, too, because had that gone the other way, police officers would have become a target once again, and maybe this will be the beginning to stop the cycle of rogue police officers' violence against people.
Boy, I sure hope so, but, you know, if you watch the news and you see pictures of all these other people who are being killed by police, it's really terrifying. I mean, that young man Dante shot for a traffic accident. And
well, a 13-year-old that was shot in Chicago.
Yeah. Right.
So hopefully this will be the breathing point that we need to look forward and say, hey, listen, we can support the police. We, of course, need the police, but the rogue police officers must be weeded out as much as possible.
And the thing that was exciting about the Derek Chauvin trial is that for the first time that I can remember, the blue wall of silence was broken.
Yeah.
And other police officers testified against him.
Yeah, that's one of the most important things about that trial is that will tend to set up hopefully a precedent where other police departments now can rein in those rogue officers, knowing that they can have support from within the ranks. As it's not an attack on police forces in general, it's on the rogue police officers that exist out there, just like the rogue Americans that exist out there, whether they're Antifa or whether they're KKK that resort to violence. This is a way, hopefully, we can deal with it now. So I think that's the great news that came out of that trial.
Yes,
it is. And the reason we're talking about this is our Berkshire District Attorney's Office. Celebrated that decision by the jury, and they sent a letter to the family of Mr. Floyd, agreeing with this verdict. So it was interesting that our. I wonder how many other district attorneys' offices across the state and country did the same.
It would be interesting to find out. But and you look at the Great Barrington Police, the work they're doing with the immigrant community now, and everything like that. So you hope that that nationwide, this is that time where we all took a deep breath, and now we've changed direction. And it's not going to be easy. But there's an old saying from that it takes you so long to walk into the middle of a forest, it's going to take you just as long to walk out of that forest. But hopefully we're going in the right direction.
Well, Andrea Harrington, our DA, is pretty good. So this is great.
All right. Next story. I want to talk about the Berkshire Hills Regional School District. They have now adopted plans of an educational equity access and higher expectations. Explain to me what this program's about.
This is an interesting program. They're just making sure that that students in this pandemic time have access to the levels of education that they're suited for. That's what this is, a kind of progressive move by our school district, which is a pretty progressive. We have a very thoughtful group who are in the school committee, and our superintendent is terrific, actually. So,
but this is something called proficiency-based learning.
Yep.
I mean, that instead of being tracked the way, you know, education has done so often lately, that they are figuring out a way to really allow every student to have access to the level of instruction and education for which they are suited. So it's very controversial because, you know, most people are accustomed to tracks, you know, that you, and it doesn't work well for the students, you know, who are in the middle. So this has been quite controversial. There were long discussions about it. And, you know, I mean, one of the interesting statements that came out is that giving up privilege isn't really giving up. It's sharing. That we're not saying that, or they're not saying that people on the top have to give up the privilege of advanced learning. It's just that more children will have access to better instruction.
Right. So this is a pretty progressive, but still controversial, initiative that the school district is incorporating. And it's going to be interesting to see how students and the parents are going to accept this. So this is a really, as I say, it's a very innovative and creative move by our school system.
And there's been really a lot of public participation and discussion about before this policy was adopted. And the school district is also planning to have regular forums for the public to continue to explain how this works. Every 2 weeks, starting out right after the April break, so parents can air their concerns and, you know, get questions answered. But, you know, they are really trying to stimulate children to participate more in their own education and to learn more at their own pace.
Right.
So,
the great thing about the program is it's not a simple program. It's a pretty widespread, and it's a multi-pronged program, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Which enables it to be more successful. And I think also parents, because parents can be kind of stickly when it comes to their children and education, but I think it opens up the door for parents to participate more.
Yeah, and teachers and students are not going to be forced to follow any one particular path. So, you know, it really reflects a much greater investment in the individual child, which is a difficult thing to do.
Nowadays, it's almost impossible.
In the public school system.
All right. The next story that will go into a different direction, Hannah Van Sickle writes an article about life. Real life. I mean, you know, inhaling, exhaling, and the relationships of newborns.
Oh, yeah. She does. This is a... she is really a very innovative writer and very curious about all kinds of things. And this is a... she writes about a program that supports parent-infant relationships is what she's writing about. It's called Hello, It's Me. and it's a program that was launched by a doctor here in the Berkshires and several years ago. And so they're trying to establish a secure and enhanced parent-infant relationships as a way of starting these young children's lives.
It's very
and infants,
children,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we're talking about newborns here. And it's pretty interesting. We have a website a link here where you can research some of the background and thinking behind this program.
Yeah, it's a doctor named Claudia Gold.
Yep, and I find it pretty interesting. If you were a parent, I think, or parents who are expecting a child, this would be something really to ponder.
Right. So
as a guide.
Yeah, and what she says is that the Hello, It's Me curriculum shines a spotlight on the tremendous capacity for connection that babies have when they enter the world. I mean, people don't seem to understand that babies are reaching out for connection, and the parents have an opportunity to respond and to build the kind of connection that they may not even realize is, you know, is wanted and necessary.
And that little infants are capable of,
yes,
actually.
Yes, right.
That's the thing, is that they recognize a certain capacity for connection perhaps that was not appreciated before.
Right, right.
It was an interesting read and a really interesting
yeah.
story, and especially as someone like myself who's been married several times, and I've had the luck to become a dad over a different period of time within different relationships, and you know, I got better at it each time. I really did.
Yeah, right. Right.
And so,
you mean you were practicing at the beginning?
It was a slow learning process, but to have something like this as a guide, it's kind of fun to see, and people are, sometimes they just don't realize what they're getting into when they have kids. They just don't. It is a commitment that is probably the most important commitment that you're going to make in your life. So,
yeah.
I want to move on to things.
They never go away.
No, they don't ever. Never. That's exactly right. And that
you mean even though you think
your children and they can't divorce you.
That's exactly right. You know, we are in Connecticut in the middle of May. The governor is going to allow businesses to open up much more retail businesses in the middle of May. Retail shops. People will still have to wear masks, but other than that, it will be up to shop owners to just decide whether or not they want to enforce a number of people that can be in the store or space between people. And so Connecticut is well on its way to opening up. New York is also making steps. And now you've got a great story here. A year or so after the lockdown, Great Barrington merchants really have found ways to weather and get around and survive this this shutdown.
Yes, with caution, and we interview a number of businesses and the Southern Berkshire Chamber of Commerce to see how businesses are finding ways to manage to keep themselves afloat, but at the same time respect the limitations imposed by this pandemic, and so they are. It's interesting about how innovative businesses have become, and
we actually have a couple of stories. We have, you know, a story about how the downtown merchants have been innovative about, you know, responding to the pandemic. And we have another story from our Business Monday lineup about what makes Great Barrington a kind of unique, I mean, what's the secret to retail success in Great Barrington? Great Barrington seems to be doing okay in terms of, there are people downtown. The restaurants were very innovative about opening, opening up last summer, and they're going to continue to do. We're going to continue to have street dining, which really made the town very lively. But a lot of stores have adapted. You know, they are allowing a certain number of people in. They're operating under restrictions. But I mean, it's an interesting pair of stories.
Yeah, and they converted a parking lot into an outdoor dining spot
with music.
With music, and that's right. They call it, they call it the Berkshire Busk. And it's going to be a new. There's going to be a new 10-week program of summer entertainment outside. Right. With street performers. So there, this is a very innovative. I wonder if some of these innovations here are going to persist, are going to continue after the pandemic is under control.
You know, it's a great question, because I think what I've discovered is that, yes, I think restaurants especially will now keep this going, simply because if anything like this happens again, they're prepared for it. And you know what? The public benefits. There's more options for retail. There'll be more options for going to theater. There'll be more options for going out for dinner and stuff. So it presents more options, and it gives something that these businesses didn't have before: stability. It gives us a little bit of stability.
Well, it's kind of unique and adventurous, you know, so that it's. You know, it's special. It's like it has a kind of festival atmosphere in a way. I hate to say that about responses to a pandemic, but it does have that feeling of, you know, these tables outside under umbrellas has a kind of carnival feel to it, almost, you know. And it's going to be interesting to see just whether this, as I say, whether this... style is going to continue, you know, next year or the year after the pandemic has been put under control.
Well, I think.
Yeah, well, I think they will. I mean, people have figured out all kinds of interesting takeout possibilities that we didn't have before. So, and I think people are enjoying that also. I mean, to be able to have. You know, bring a good meal home in a way that you couldn't before. They figured out how to pack these things up.
You know, and it goes to grocery stores too. As you know, during this pandemic, there's been Le Bon's Epicure Market now delivers. There is a delivery charge, but you can phone your order in or do it via web, and that afternoon it comes
to
you.
Bring it to your car. I mean, I see in the grocery store in Guido's, for example. Here, I don't think that the Big Y and the Price Chopper do this. So, well, maybe they do, but it's certainly in Guido's. You phone your order in, and there's somebody on the staff who does your shopping and brings it out to your car.
Well, there's an agency that was underwriting with us, their name is similar to Robinhood, but they've been doing this now even before. Right, they just started their business before the pandemic started.
Well, I think we wrote about it.
Yeah, and they used
a woman who was delivering to private schools.
That's exactly right. That's exactly, and she changed it.
Model.
Yeah,
right.
And you know what? These things are going to stay with us. Like I think also what's going to stay with us is public hearings and stuff that are now done by Zoom. I think that when they resume bringing people in, it's just as easy to also click and hit that, so people can also watch it once again at home. So there's a lot of things we've learned from the pandemic.
Yes.
That'll be carried forward.
I'm on a couple of organization boards, and we now have meetings by Zoom, and we have higher participation than we ever had.
Oh, by the way, that's Riding Hood Fine Delivery. By the way, that's the group that does
Riding
it out of Guido.
Right.
Does it out of Guido's.
We had an article about her when she first started.
So, you know, I think businesses, politicians, government, everybody's learned during this pandemic, and this is something that'll be in the back pocket if anything like this ever happens again.
Right.
Yeah, and as Marcy points out, you wonder whether, you know, businesses will discover that this is a pretty good model to continue anyways.
Yes.
As an option.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, the liquor stores and the pot shops have been doing extremely well.
They certainly have. We're out of time already. Unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we are out of time already. But we covered all the stories because we covered the last story first anyway. So
Yes, we did.
Well, keep up the good work up there at the BerkshireEdge.com.
Well, you too. Yes, we look forward to listening to your new concerts on Sunday morning.
Riding Hood Radio. No.
That's right. All right, guys, I'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge On Air. You'll find them at the BerkshireEdge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.